going down to the river about to do, it only fits with the power that brought to light those things that these people thought were God's glory and their blessing. Well, surely, beloved, it's the only thing that's going to turn us into this realm of blessing. Indeed, as we said already, did we not begin there? Repentance toward God, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, the very beginning of that Christian pathway, it was faith that brought us into it. And we can be sure of this, beloved, in moving along that path as those that belong to God. Faith which we understand is confidence in God is going to be constantly needed for us if we are going to affect anything worth talking about as these people did in the record of Holy Scriptures. Perhaps again, though I'm spending a long time on the introduction, another thing that we have noted in this chapter is that what faith enables us to do, it enables us to believe the incredible. Just let these things sink a little. I remember the first time I heard them, how appreciated I was of them, who I got them from, I can't tell you. This faith enables us to believe the incredible. That just in the gospel, a man that died on the cross nearly 2,000 years ago, that because of what that man does, it's put me right with God forever. Yes, thank God it has. We see it first of all with Noah. When he was told that flood was coming, he simply believed God, and they've never seen rain on earth, so far as we know. Heavens have opened and fallen on rain. Incredible! Yes, but he believed it, and of course it happened, and he was saved in that earth. And you believe something naturally incredible, but thank God, very understandable the faith, isn't it, that we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ the Savior, and we stand right with God. With Abraham, another point that's been raised in this chapter, it enabled him to perform the impossible. So it is with you and me, beloved. Just think that ever I can live in this hostile world, and have no appeal to make a difference in all that's doing with the, all the games and all the gaiety and all that's around them every time. And yet there's no effect upon me at all. Why, impossible? No, no, thank God it's not impossible. And we can live in the midst of it all without ever giving an ear to it forever and move right through it, credibly, for the pleasure of God himself. And the third one, which is primarily before my mind tonight, it enables us to see the otherwise invisible. That's more to the whom we read. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. May I pause again, beloved, as I said, it was a very simple, practical word in my mind tonight. How much of these divine things do you see? There's a distinction between what we hear and what we see. I'm afraid I've heard a lot more in my life of the meetings than ever I could see. But I thank God for what I can see. And faith in these divine things as we hear them, why they become light in our souls. God is the Lord that has given us light in all different scripture I grant you. God is the Lord that has given us light. And if we receive these divine things as enlightenment of our souls, we can see the otherwise invisible. Now that's what Mark Moses, as we're coming down to it, one who through faith endured persevered of seeing him who is invisible. So coming down to these verses where we began in verse 23, we begin with the birth of this young man. I'm saying young, of course, at the moment. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his birth, because they thought he was a proper child or a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. Here I pause again. I wonder what sort of a start of mind you had to the part of the Christian pathway this is done. Can you go back to a godly mother or a godly father whose sisters have prayed for you that they might live in this world for the pleasure of God? I had a mother like that. I wonder if you had a son like that. Or do you say to me, no, unfortunately, I never had a son like that, and I would agree with you if you said, unfortunately, I would agree with you. But he was a man, his mother and father, when this child was born, the woman helped him on the sick down to bed.
We must
must find our own feet, as it were, in the things of God. I can't answer for you, nor can your parents answer for you. It's a question of you taking your own measure in the things of God, and holding dear under His care, His protection, if ever He is going to do anything worth doing in this world for the pleasure of God. And hence we come to the most six things I've been said about Him, and this is the first one of verse 24. By faith Moses, when he was come to get, or as the new translation renders it, became great, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now see, my dear friend, I don't know your mind this way. Very few in this year I can say a word about it, so don't think I'm here to postpone to anybody. But I want to ask you, since you trusted the Lord as your Savior, what have you given up in this world? Think it over now. Just what have you surrendered in this world? And the world with all its glory staring them in the face, and they realize if I'm going to say, God, I'll have to give that up. Or I'll have to give that up. The few little things that we give up with gambling and smoking and that sort of thing, with the bump that we give up, the many things, of course, you'd expect. Yes, but we've met men with grand prospects in this world who told me themselves, I realized if I went on there much longer, I'd not be able to serve God in this world. I'm a bit of just like Moses. He came to that decision himself. He wasn't forced to it. He began with a refusal to part of this world and all its glory was concerned. Oh, let me urge any of young people, if you're falling on some relationship, some society, something in this world that you know is hindering you in the things of God, don't be afraid, my dear friend, to give them up. You'll find God is something infinitely better for you if you do, but the decision lies in your hands. He reviewed it wasn't a God right about. He came to a judgment of his position, judged the whole situation, and he left it. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. The old name that he had, the old glory that he had, he came to a judgment about the thing. You may tell me if he ran away from Egypt, but my dear friend, I'm certain in reading in his prayer that he come to a judgment about it before he sold that Egyptian. That wasn't just done on the spur of the moment. I believe exercise had been working in that man's heart. And it was through this exercise when he pulled that Egyptian, smiting him into life, he raised his hand against that Egyptian, he took sides with the people of God against the world. It wasn't just a momentary decision, I'd be perfectly sure that judgment was in his heart, but then God allowed him to express that judgment, you see, when he pulled that Egyptian, and on the Egyptian went. He never was a better day in his life than when he left Egypt, so far as his history was concerned, and the working and the framework of God in his soul, forming this sermon for the work that he had in view. Again, I ask you, I hope nobody has gone against the millions there and told you. I want to ask you, my dear friend, have you given God the opportunity to frame you in relation to something of his service? Have you given up this thing or that thing, whatever it may be? And now an exercise before God, waiting upon him, what dost thou have me to do? You know the words of the Apostle Paul? For what thou art, number one, what wilt thou have me to do? From the very outset, you see, laid himself as it were upon the altar, grown and swelled, in order that God might use him for his service in this world. Come, my dear friend, have you reached that decision yet? I quoted Romans 12, he is your body to living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind to open what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Indeed, I say, my dear friend, it's well worth proving. You try it. If you haven't tried it yet, you try it. And I'm sure you'll tell me if I make you again, yes, I've got a promise, well worth talking. That's the first thing then said about him, the funeral. He came to a judgment then as the way he was. And the links that he had, and the links that really were his, as belonging to the children of God, disguised as an Egyptian from the rewards. And the moment came when he did declare himself, then began his history as it were So the fault began to pass the door, but never said it was in the school. But after the first mark, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And if not along with that refusal, surely, yes, that's the second thing that I had in mind, surely. Then I said again, he wasn't forcing to win it. Well, my dear friend, he wasn't forcing to beat him up. I wasn't forced to arm myself with the children of God, but he did so. Chosen daughter to suffer afflictions of the people of God and to endure the pleasures of sin for a season. He came to the wife just about the thing. The probability wanted to suffer the form of Egypt had he stayed where he was. Yes, but his daughter was going to be next to Egypt and therefore the future. All the grandeur and the glory of Egypt, you know, was coming under the judgment of God. You know that as well as I don't know, just as far as everything is as well as concerned. And love was speaking yesterday about the gospel fact. When a man who was a family had made some money in this world and died. And a friend did him and said, did you hear what he left? Oh, yes, he said everything. Didn't expect an answer like that from the course of the story, so. My friend, there's nothing you take on in this world that's going for, you'll never take it to heaven. Come to a judgment about it. If it's hindering you to come on the service of God, the sooner you give it up, the better. And if you think you're a friend as you want, you know, once you take a step back, you'll never regret telling others from the hindrance of you, and all that with the people of God, you might go on the service, whatever the affliction may be, whatever the rejection may be, as far as it was concerned, choosing Father to suffer affliction with the people of God and to endure the pleasures of sin for the people, the temporary pleasures of this world. I live long enough to hear a man say, so and so, my money's laughing at me today. I was a stranger in that district, but found out that I'm a young man. He didn't make promise in the service of God. But business opened out for him, and he said into this thing and that thing and the other thing. And the best part of his life was that I think he was about 80 when he picked up the phone. He said, my money's running at me, and in 3 weeks he was out of the world altogether. And all the other children did by the back, and there wasn't a very piece of that money went to the heaven, he couldn't take it to heaven. I said to these things, my dear friend, I see so many young people here. I know there's all things in this world and prospects of things lying ahead for you. You see, if they're going to hinder you in the service of God, you can well follow them as the type that Moses has given up here. The example, that's the word I wanted. Leave the thing alone. The day will come when your friends love the devil, you have faith to give it up. If you go steadfastly on his service, well, that was the step he took, chosen one of them to suffer affliction with the people of God and to endure the temporary pleasure of sin for a season. The third thing sticking out in it, esteem in the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, he came to a judgment, an estimation. He, well, they said here, of course, the reproach of Christ is put there because the Messiah was attached to that company. How much more so is it for us today? The reproach of the Christ. And yet, whenever I made some of them reproach for him, he would have said about it again. And chosen rather to suffer the affliction, or rather, verse 26, esteeming the reproach of the Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, something of infinitely more value. Something of eternal value in contrast to the sinful, paltry things that are in this world, dragging men's souls down onto the ground. A true estimation he gave of that which was right and that which was enduring, esteeming the reproach of the Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Then what did he get from it? Well, I'll look at that next statement, for he had respect under the recompense. Some of us again were talking a little bit during the winter about the war. I think I began to start with some of the same things we got there. When a brother says, we don't send the Lord for a reward, I said, excuse me, my dear brother, I'm certainly serving the Lord for a reward. I make no apology for that. No, my dear friend, I'm looking for the reward in the world to come. And the Lord will open that to you tonight, if only you're right enough to listen to it. Lost again? Well, lost again will not come much in that day, will it? When the reward that touched the end has long escaped, not only will be suffered at the moment, in that respect, under the recompense of the reward. I wonder what sort of a place you will have in the world to come. You have a post to ask yourself. If you want me to prove these things, I can easily do it. Let me give you just one wrong place from the Lord's own lips themselves. The men with the pound, you remember, given a pound. And they're given a pound. Tell them how he's given a pound. One of them gave. Hard labor, wasn't it? They were all over the same cities. Another one gave five. They were all over the same cities. The first one said, look, I was afraid to serve you, Lord, I was afraid of you. Well, his pound was taken from him, and I've had a pound of a city at the end. Come, my dear friend, do you want to run there and hand it to Lord at the end when we leave this world? Do you want to be left with nothing at all that I have in this world? God, my dear friend, you have made up your mind you're not going on the road like that. Make up your mind you are going to get something you can take with you. Don't be afraid of working for the reward. I can quote you quite many more as you know, many of you in this city tonight. Claim from the reward, my dear friend, God's offering it, or the Lord is offering it to you. And if you come to the right judgment about things, in the poor, costly word, compared with the glory of things, a thousand years reign with Christ in the world to come, I don't know which time when we go there, but we said that happens in the world to come. And the rather to us tonight, for service for the Lord in this world, go on, my dear friend, as the Apostle Paul just comes to mind in another place, says, come around, that he may obtain. There's another one. For he had been expected on the recompense of the reward. But then it came to another step, though we've almost overwritten this one. My dear, he was a teacher. It isn't only that he came to the judgment about the higher up in this choice that he made. The time came, of course, when he left it all together. By the way, he was a teacher, not fearing the rock of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Don't be alarmed that people wonder what you're striving at. And what you've got in mind, or where you're going, and what's governing you, or what's marking you, what's the matter with you, and all that sort of thing. Such is the judgment of this world. That where faith has one die on the goal, and on that which the Lord has to offer, for any service for himself in this world, which had followed him as it were he forsook Egypt, he come to a judgment about it as we say long since. But the time came when he left it all together. Step out of it! What was the good of going on the next coming Sunday? He's well in you, but rather coming on them, the judgment of God. No, no, he was to fear, and not fearing the wrath of the king, and then he endured. As seeing him, firstly, and I think that the now he translates this word, firstly, as seeing him, how it is visible. Don't just be looking at circumstances in the world, we'll very soon be led astray. You know why? Because the devil will soon give you circumstances to judge him, and they're foolish enough to do that. Make no mistake about that. He soon presents some circumstances to you, then that's the way it certainly will happen. Have you been among the shape of contrast with the circle of fear? Service of the Lord, heaven at the end, a reward in the world to come, and what God is going to do in this poor, evil world, rather than coming under the judgment of God. And I think, like Moses, you too will come to the same decision. Firstly, keep going on, as seeing him who is in the world. Don't worry, dear friend, if you can't stay around the corner for the next day. Faith doesn't do that, you know, but just go on with God for a moment. A few of us old friends here have been talking to me for many, many years ago. We never ever thought we'd still be in the world today, much less anything else. I never ever thought we'd be in a Bible reading like that, like it was today, in the beginning of these divine things. No, but our faith was right and we went on, step by step. And I think I can say for my friends who spoke to me today, looking back nearly 50 years in our pathway, there's not one of them got a single regret for anything to that. Get on the Lord's service in this world. And you won't, my dear friend, but not you. You don't do these things in lectures, you know. You can only do them in experience. It's here, and it's true. stand. You'll make a stand, never be afraid of what you're losing in this world, as long as for one of these days, you'll make up something in the service of the Lord that serves you so well, as we've heard in our Bible reading this week. Now, another one that we don't often think about is in this next verse. I wondered many times why that was put where it was instead of a little higher up. It says, through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest the destroyer, lest he that destroyed the firstborn, should perish. We don't. I'm sorry, I put the numbers. We know, don't we, that verse 28 should really fit in with between 26 and 27, when it was in Egypt. But I'm going to give it an application tonight. They struck me just when reading this down with this meeting in you. Even this man, to say that was not by his name, and we said that they told them again, by his people, by coming to a choice, by right estimation, by forsaking Egypt, by persevering in the path we have made, this was the man now that we read about that God used to teach the children of Israel how to escape the judgment of God. It says he kept the path of nothing, it put down to his faith. But then God would entrust these people in the hands of this man, and therefore, with it for that trust, and that's what I'm perfectly sure now, the Lord could trust. And it was left to him to instruct these Israelites about the keeping of the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. And what I'm going to give an application of tonight is this, my dear friends, if you go on this pathway of faith, and move on under the blessing of God, the endurance in that pathway, the sea of these invisible things, moving on toward that goal. I believe the one thing about another you'll be thankful for when you get to heaven is that the Lord used you to bring somebody else from under the judgment of God. Not only did you obey yourself, but when the Lord sends you being unable to point out of his way to someone else that the judgment of God is about to fall upon them, and maybe the means that God can address you in them from that judgment that is about to come. You'll notice what it says, by faith he kept the Passover. They didn't know, I'm sure, what it was about. They simply did what Moses told them. But the people who did do what Moses told them, he kept the judgment of God in their household. Again, I want to ask you, my dear friend, do you know anybody else in this world that you've been a means of bringing them under the judgment of God and setting them on the head of the cross? There's nothing more than an experience in this world than the least somebody that has ever been converted through you. Of course, not that we've converted, no, we don't make that mistake about it. But to think the Lord has graciously used one to present the gospel to somebody else that needed it just as much as I did when I first heard it, and being the means of the Lord's hand of bringing someone else among them the judgment of God. Oh, my dear friend, I'm not going to say young, old as well as young, make this an aim in life as we are going through. Matthew, I cannot hope to save other folks out of this world and from the judgment of God if I'm going on with it myself. If I'm going on with this world in one hand and seeking to save the Lord in the other, then you spend standing up here tomorrow night and preaching the gospel in the hope that someone will be converted. No, my dear friend, it just doesn't work at all. But if there is earnestness and desire in our hearts, in relation to God, and in the path along which we are going, we become suitable vessels that the Lord can put his hand upon us, sure that it's channeled of blessing. And how nice it will be when we get before the judgment seat of Christ to find someone else there in heaven, and they got there through my little effort in preaching the gospel. Oh, my friend, it's worth going in for. As Moses proved it was worth going in for, and just one closing word, I didn't think I loved it all of it, just one closing word. You remember the last time we see Moses in the Bible? It's on the Mount of Transfiguration in the Gospels, in the three Gospels. Moses and Elias in the Mount of Glory with our Lord. There he was, that glorious man, in the glory. And they were allowed just those three disciples to see Moses and Elias and the Lord. I should have put the Lord first, I suppose, all together in that cloud of glory. Oh, then, my dear friend, keep your eyes on the Lord. Whatever the attractions of this world may be, if it is the world, it's well worth parting. and going on with what you well know to be the cause of God and your soul. You have a gift. How do you know? Because Scripture tells me, that's how I know. You have a gift. But only every one of us is given grace, according to the measure of the gift of the Christ. Oh, yes, then I didn't know I had a gift. Then, my dear friend, you're admitting to me that you never presented to you. For a man's gift made a room for himself. You have a gift, my dear Christian friend. If you belong to the Lord, you have a gift that he's given you. It's better than this world. Don't think that getting up like I have a man given a lecture like this is the only gift. It's a big mistake to think of things like that, you know. Or some outstanding gospel preacher. No, my dear friend, we don't need gifts for these things. You simply have in your heart, you will gift as much as ever I have. It may not be your mind. You're not familiar with the job, but it's your job in service for the Lord in this world. And if you want to take that which has a greater place in that warfare, when before the judgment be the Christ, to learn to be the means of leading someone else into the blessing of God, my friend, it's well worth parting with this horrible evil world of thankful we've been to get out of it, and in this wonderful service in this divine circle. In the enjoyment of that again which say, which is heavenly, spiritual, and largely eternal, building up treasure as it were, treasure for heaven itself, how thankful at the end of the path you will be. Indeed, my dear friend, before you get to the end of the Lord, will give you many more years, that you have been able, and the gift the Lord has given you, with sincere desire, to have done a little work for the Lord in this world. And even that great work that he's done for you to get you into the next world, and that when you're there with something to your credit before the judgment seat of Christ, to be able to hear from his lips, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Go in then, my dear friend, from this pathway, and may the Lord bless you. Thank you.